helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. How many times have you heard it? Someone decides not to participate because they don't want to be on some list. In my experience, it's not the list, but the label associated with the list that makes people nervous. See, labels are lazy. They are an easy way to dismiss someone or something without actually having to investigate it. Label someone a terrorist and you can throw due process out the window. Label somebody a racist and you can simply ignore them. Label someone a threat to democracy and you can do just about anything to keep them out of office. In other words, labels allow us to be the worst kind of prejudiced filth, but feel good about ourselves. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. Now, I'll admit, my recognition of the evil of labels is relatively young. I mean, it's not like I've had this concept for decades. I mean, I've seen it, right? We label people. That person's a fascist. That one's a socialist. That one's a right-wing extremist. That one's, you know, take your pick. But I observed over the years that that seems to be an easy way to, again, stick someone in a group we've established so we don't have to deal with them. Call someone a socialist, you don't have to consider the quality of their ideas. Call someone a right-wing extremist, and you can simply decide, no, I don't want to have anything to do with them. Probably the most often used, and even most powerful, are the ists and the phobes. Again, racist, sexist, it's a simple way of, I don't have to deal with your ideas, I just label you something, and that answers all the questions. The same with the phobe, right? The homophobe, the transphobe. Well, unfortunately, the only one we don't deal with is the hoplophobe, the person who has an irrational fear of firearms. But it's an easy way to simply, you label somebody, and not only do you not have to deal with them, you give other people an excuse not to deal with them as well. Here's a nice trick to try. Next time you see someone label somebody some sort of ist or phobe or whatever it is, ask them, what have they done to have warranted that label? My experience, 99 times out of 100, you're going to get blanks. Or occasionally what you'll see is, well, so-and-so said so. Okay, I've decided that you are a murderer and need to go to death row, not because I have evidence, but because so-and-so said so. See, I said you're an awful serial murderer, so send you to jail and put you to death. It's irrational, but we don't tend to think of things that way. But it works. And why do labels work? Because nobody wants to be labeled. We are afraid of being called names. I remember as a kid, we used to say, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Okay, words do hurt, but not physically. But we've become so adverse to the idea of being labeled, of being called names, that we'll even admit to things that aren't true just to avoid the stigma of being labeled. To the point, I've been called all sorts of names. I've been given all sorts of labels. I think I enjoy it now. Someone calls me, you're a climate denier. No, I don't deny there's a climate. See, it's right out there. It's climate. I just think your assumptions about what's going on are irrational and stupid. You're a vaccine denier. You're an anti-vaxxer. No, I don't. There are vaccines. I just think maybe before I stick something in my arm, I should make sure it's, tested. See, the most people don't react that way. They rather they shun these labels because of how people use them and because we're really worried about what other people think about us. And let's face it, plenty of people have learned how to use that against us. Again, the racist label. I'm called a racist because I don't want to judge people based on the color of their skin, yet I'm the one called the racist. I'm called a homophobe because I believe sex outside of marriage and sex between the same sex is a sin. I'm not afraid of them. I just disagree with them. And again, I get all sorts of labels. And people have used those to just look at how often the Republican Party was famous for this. They'd get some Republican would be labeled something, and they'd immediately back off. Everyone from the president down to the dog catcher. They're willing to give up what they know to be true to avoid a label. Now we find that at the University of Maryland, there's a government-funded database that was put together in order to track radicalization. All right, and that's always, I love these terms, it's, you know, you're a radical. Really, it's funny that the people with the most radical ideas are often the ones calling other people radical for disagreeing with them. Now, I find that hilarious because, well, the related definition of radical is to be different from the usual, to be different from traditional. Yet, usually it's the people that are holding the traditional ideas that often get called a radical, which kind of makes sense when we're looking at this particular case. See, the Students for Life America, a pro-life campus group, has 1,400 chapters across the country. But within this database, they're listed as a terrorist group. That's right. They appear under the label of a terrorist group. Now, this database was funded by the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security, the Center for the Study of Terrorism and Behavior. It's called the Profiles of Individual Radicalization in the United States, or PRIUS. That's a great name. It's supposed to be a quantitative data set of individuals in the United States who radicalize to the point of violent or nonviolent ideological motivated criminal activity or ideological motivated associations with foreign or domestic extremist organizations. Now, stop at that for a second. So what has the Students for Life America done that would identify them as straying from the norm? See what we have here? This is an interesting twist on this. See, this is an attempt to change the norm. See, the idea of being pro-life, of wanting people to live, of not wanting people to die, has been the norm for most of Western history. Now, however, it's being termed as radical because the people who want to kill babies want people to want to think that that's normal, that it's no longer normal to want to save babies. It's now normal to want to kill babies. Now, as someone who put together this database, well, what have the students, the SFLA, done that is a criminal? Where is their association with foreign or domestic extremist organizations? They can't point to them. At least I doubt they could point to them. Now, according to this article from the Federalist, the database overwhelmingly targets what you would refer to as right wing, as some sort of offender, some sort of radical. Much fewer left, quote-unquote, left-wing. And just look at some of the subcategories that they include in their, you know, dangerous, radical extremists. Anti-abortion. Anti-LGBT. How about Christian identity? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you believe in the Bible, if you are, call yourself a Christian, even though that's been the tradition of this country before we were a country, no, you're now considered a potential domestic extremist. You are radical for holding to what has been Western tradition for millennia. Now, why is this important? Well, it's that twist of the label. You see, you take something that is traditional and normal, you determine it's radical, you give it a scary label, now you can use it in a database to justify depriving people of their rights. Oh, see, you're anti-abortion? Well, that makes you a radical extremist. You're dangerous. We need to get you off the streets. Because that nonviolent demonstration that you participate is obviously just the beginning of your radicalization into a violent extremist. That becomes the logic. That becomes the so-called rationale. You disagree with the with people forcing the LGBTQ agenda on others, forcing people to take pictures, do flower arrangements, bake cakes, where you're labeled anti-LGBT. Therefore, you can have your right to be left alone infringed on. You can be forced to work for somebody else, to create a cake, to make pictures, to do flower arrangements for someone, for something you vehemently disagree with because, well, you're obviously, you cannot be trusted. You're an extremist. You must comply. And of course, if you're a Christian, well, I think probably Jews would be one of the few that have been more falsely identified as radicals. But guess what? Nowadays, I see a lot of places where simply being a Christian makes you dangerous. But interesting, within this database and these subcategories, you know what you don't find? You don't find the radical abortion groups that have attacked pregnancy centers, that have threatened, attempted to assassinate Supreme Court justices. They're not listed in the database. Of course, if there's a great place to see this label system used in recent history, it's got to be former President Donald Trump. See, they label him based on lies about him, right? Do you remember? I mean, there's still people going around saying that he's a white supremacist because he said at the one event that there were fine people on both sides, talking about people who demonstrated on both sides. It literally, just after condemning white supremacists, he pointed out that not everybody demonstrating was a white supremacist. There were good people on both sides. But this was, what, 4 years ago? To this day, there are still people that believe that Donald Trump is a white supremacist because the media promoted a lie about him, and they're doing it again. This time with the bloodbath remark. The corporate media, the shill media, the Democratic shill media has done everything they say to take this quote out of context to say, you know, if I don't win, it'll be a bloodbath. Ignoring the language that says, what Biden is doing is destroying the automobile market. And if I don't win, it's going to be a bloodbath. You're going to lose all your jobs because he's going to destroy the auto market. It's the labels. I understand the logic of not wanting to be labeled, but the interesting thing is if you let other people label you, if you let them control you by the threat of labels, are you free? Or are you simply the puppet of somebody else? Do what we say or we'll label you. And then when we label you, well, then there'll be some that will turn it into, we will criminalize that label. And sooner or later, we will make that criminalization stick simply because you've been labeled something that we put up in order to control you. You see, I claim that labels are a lazy form of discrimination for the simple reason of the person doing the labeling doesn't really have to work that hard. More often than not, people will simply comply rather than having to deal with being labeled. You know, there's a joke that in my family, we talk about being weird. You know, I'm weird. I don't suffer from my weirdness. I thoroughly enjoy it. We need to take that attitude. When all somebody can do is call you names, stick a label on you, they don't have an argument. Call them on it. Someone calls me a racist. What have I done that's racist? Oh, nothing? Oh, so you're just a lazy name caller. And you know what I think of lazy name callers? I think very little of them. You see, I'm trying to live my life not being controlled by other people's standards because they abuse those standards. I'm not trying to offend somebody. I'm not trying to harm somebody. But I'm not going to let somebody artificially control my life simply because they can throw a label on me. Call me anything you want. and I know the truth, and the people that matter in my life know the truth. And hopefully, if you don't know the truth, you'll do a little investigating to find out if that is the truth. Now, one label I'm proud to wear is that of being a Christian. I go beyond that. I say I'm actually a disciple of Christ, which is why I was glad to join Patriot Mobile. They're America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they shared my values. They believed in the right to life and funding organizations that promoted that and not funding organizations that promoted abortion. You can join too. They offer great 4G, 5G coverage on all networks across the United States. They have 100% U.S.-based technical customer support. They're very easy to deal with. They're very effective, and they're extremely polite. So use your cell phone to take a stand against those that would corrupt what makes America great, whether it's pro-life or just the protection of your rights protected by the Constitution. Now, Patriot Mobile offers discounts for veterans, for first responders, for NRA members, and families with multiple lines. You can find out more at patriotmobile.com/constitution. Find a plan that works for you and a setup that works for you. And oh, by the way, if you use the code Constitution at checkout, you get free activation. So again, go to patriotmobile.com/constitution. Find a plan that works for you. Join us here on America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And then use that code out loud at checkout to get free activation. Also, if you're having a hard time getting a good night's sleep, but you don't want to try hormones and chemicals to sleep better, I've got something for you. The Wellness Company has a product called Restful Sleep. It uses natural ingredients to calm the mind, to reduce stress, so you can get a better, more restful night's sleep without hormones or chemical drugs. Backed by documented research, vetted by the chief medical board of the Wellness Company, Restful Sleep works. I use it. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off products and your first month of membership by using the code OUTLOUD. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop to find all the details. Just find the Restful Sleep ad, click on it. You can read all the details, get all the information you need. Just be sure when you check out, you use that code OUTLOUD. You get 25% off your products and off your first month of membership to the Wellness Company.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients, Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop. And it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing. Giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're talking about labels. A nice, lazy form of discrimination. And I've got this is a perfect example. And this one, it's a little closer to home than maybe I really thought it would. So you have to remember, I was born in New York City. I lived there till I was, 11 years old. But I went back to the city regularly for work, for the most part. My mother was actually an auxiliary in the New York Police and NYPD. And so this story really caught my attention. And that has to do with FDNY, the Fire Department of New York, Ladder Company Number 11. Now, if that doesn't ring a bell, don't be surprised. See, it's a ladder company in the East Village, and they lost, I think it was 6 members of that company during the 9/11 attacks. They died when the, if memory serves, they died when the towers collapsed. Now, they put up a symbol, something to remember the fallen by. And it included what's known as the thin red line. For those of you who don't know, the New York City flag, basically, it's a black and white version of the American flag. And the NYPD take one of the white stripes and make it a blue stripe, making it the thin blue line. Of course, blue is the color of the police department. It makes a lot of sense. Red is the color of the fire department. So they took that flag and put a red line through that on one of the white stripes. And again, it was meant as a remembrance, an honoring of the men who crossed that thin red line, who gave their lives in an attempt to save others. And that's where the story starts. You see, apparently back on, the ladder company received a command to remove that thin red line, that flag honoring those who died in, those who died in 9/11. And the reason, now that's bad enough, but the reason is what gets to me. See, apparently, there's a councilwoman, a Manhattan councilwoman, Carlina Riviera, and a staffer for her confronted the firefighters. He pulled up in front of the firehouse. He was riding a bike. Told them that he works for Councilwoman Riviera and that the politician's office had complained that the thin red line, this black American flag with a red line in it, is a fascist symbol. Now, I'd never heard of that. I did a little bit of research and I found, yes, apparently there are those that a thin red line on a black background is a fascist symbol. Not quite sure where, not quite sure how, but here you have the American flag, granted in black and white with a red line through it. And the men and women of this company were told to take it down because a single councilwoman thought that is obviously a fascist symbol. Which makes it really strange since the American flag is red and white lines. This the only difference is it's one red line instead of a group of red lines. But she says it's a fascist symbol. Now, apparently, according to Ms. Rivera's office, a staffer told the FDNY that a constituent had contacted the office twice to complain about the latter company's flag. Now, to me, this is the example of labels. One individual, apparently one individual, contacted the councilwoman, claiming that it offended this person because it was a fascist symbol, labeled it a fascist symbol, now this fire company had to remove it from the memorial for their fallen comrades because one person was offended. Now, I don't know if they're offended at the, was it seven red lines that exist on the American? There's thin red lines, there's seven of them. That isn't a problem. Or maybe it is. I don't know. But a single constituent, because every time I see it, they're referring to a constituent, regarded that as a fascist symbol. Labeled it fascist. Of course, nobody wants to be called a fascist. And this tribute to fallen firefighters is removed. See, that's the other thing about labels. They're often used as what's referred to as a heckler's veto. There was no uprising. There was no demonstrations in the streets. There was no flood of complaints about this being a fascist email more than 20 years after it was first put up. No, one person looks at that and says, I don't like that. I'm going to label it fascist and demand to be removed. See, that's the problem with running in fear of labels. Personally, if the councilwoman had any spine, I don't know, maybe she did. What is the basis for your statement that this is that an American flag with a thin red line in it is fascist? So I did a little more digging. And the idea of the thin red line actually goes back to the 1850s in the Crimean War and became a term for a group of soldiers. Apparently during this war, a group of 500 men stood against a much larger group they stood the line. They kept the line. And they had red uniforms, so they got referred to as the thin red line or the thin red streak. And it became an understanding of standing against all odds, even up into the World War II, where soldiers who stood against a horde were referred to as a thin red line. So I'm still wondering, this person claimed it is fascist. Did anybody ever ask them based on what? Where does the thin red line become shown to be a fascist symbol? I don't know. I mean, it's one line on a New York City flag. The black and white American flag, where? Or did somebody just say, "Oh, well, you know, the word fascist was mentioned, so we have to get rid of it." This bothers me. The politician, and again, maybe they did something, maybe not. It's not in the story, which actually came out of the Daily Mail, out of the United Kingdom. This isn't even a U.S. paper that was reporting on this. Maybe there is, I just didn't see it. But I have to ask, did this politician bother to verify this person's facts? Or they simply used the label fascist and this politician went running to cover her backside? What about the FDNY? Now, granted, the FDNY may not have, there may be issues with the FDNY challenging such a situation or ignoring this. But here you have a questionable label with, as far as I can see, little actual evidence of its being true. And we see people fold. And we see a memorial to dead firefighters. Desecrated. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, desecrated. All because one person claimed a label. And my knowledge has not provided any evidence that it was true. And you know what? Sometimes the labels are true, but they're still used against us. For example, it appears that a U.S. senator has suggested that a sitting associate Supreme Court justice resign because of a label. Yeah, that's right, because of a label. Senator Blumenthal of Connecticut suggested that Justice Sotomayor consider resigning because she wears the label of Democrat. Specifically, he said that she should weigh the competing factors when it comes to when to leave the bench. He said, I'm very respectful of Justice Sotomayor. I have great admiration for her, but I think she really has to weigh the competing factors. We should learn a lesson, and it's not like there's any mystery here about what that lesson should be. The old saying, graveyards are full of indispensable people, ourselves in the Senate included. In other words, apparently this senator and possibly several others are concerned that Donald Trump might win the presidential election. And if Justice Sotomayor, possibly because of her age and the fact that she was appointed by a Democrat, might retire, possibly even die, and her position would be filled by, appointed by, a Republican president. And of course, if the Democrats don't maintain control of the Senate, then, well, the Democrats figure that things would get rammed through. Now, here's what's interesting. Although the term isn't often used, we usually backhandedly label Supreme Court justices as Republican or Democrat, not directly, but by pointing out the party affiliation of the president that nominated them. Now, listen, I am not a fan of Justice Sotomayor. I have found plenty of fault with her opinions, with her dissents, with her concurrences. I find her to be constitutionally illiterate. But that kind of shows the label. See, the members of the Supreme Court are supposed to be nonpartisan. But there's a label that doesn't fit. Personally, again, I judge them based on their fidelity to the Constitution, and I find few that are satisfactory. And in that list from most fidelity to least fidelity, well, let's just say Justice Sotomayor is near the bottom of that list. But here's a scenario where, then again, I don't know if there's any pressure being involved other than the senators talking about it in public. For her to leave her job, to sacrifice her position on the Supreme Court so that a Democratic president could nominate someone to replace her. Now, not to be hypocritical, I don't want to label Senator Blumenthal, but I have observed that many of his positions in the Senate seem less concerned with the Constitution, the rule of law, or justice, and more with advancing a political agenda. So I'm put it this way. This move, this position, this statement did not surprise me one little bit. See, the label of senator, U.S. senator, in many ways comes with an expectation. and that is a sellout to the party, whichever party it may be. So again, this doesn't surprise me. But I see it as another example of labels and the way they twist our reactions, and they twist our understandings, and they twist how we react to things. They twist our policies. See, it doesn't appear to me that Mr. Blumenthal is concerned about the quality of the output of the Supreme Court. No. Seems much more as he's interested in using the Supreme Court somewhere between a super legislature and an oligarchy to promote a political agenda and not a constitutional one. Now, I have to take a break, though. Before I do, I want to remind you about the Patriots program. Head to constitutionstudy.com/patriots. It's an invitation-only program designed to help people do what needs to be done. But by that, I mean there's to help educate ourselves so that we better understand the Constitution. We know our rights, to be prepared to defend and assert them. There's the committees of correspondence where we're trying to communicate so that we know what's going on. We can help let people know when there's an issue, hear about issues in other places, and then find ways to help each other, whether it be through suggestions and ideas, and possibly even showing up to events. It's also got the Minutemen, men and women that are prepared to show up when people need to be seen. When you need to have a group that supports a certain position or a certain policy, to have people that will come that they've studied the Constitution. They're aware of what's going on, and they've prepared to stand when the world's going crazy around them. Now, you can try it out. The as I said, it's invitation only. To get an invitation, you have to take the boot camp. The boot camp is free. You'll find a link at the bottom of the Patriots page. Then if you complete the boot camp, well, you'll get an invitation to join the Patriots program. So again, go to constitutionstudy.com/patriots to find out more. Another piece of information I found that was really interesting is, according to some studies, up to 87% of Americans are dealing with some sort of metabolic issue. Cholesterol, high blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, weight problems. They can all be caused by problems in your metabolism. Well, Heal-Right has come up with an interesting solution. So they've taken 15 years of research, and they've developed 20 essential micronutrients, proteins, and antioxidants that will help. But rather than being a pill or a drink or a powder, it's a treat. Yeah, each package comes with two little snack treats, and they're not meal replacements. It's just a snack. But it is a tasty way to get the nutrition you need. So give HealRight a try. Go to HealRight.com and be sure to use the promo code OUTLOUD at checkout. It'll get you 20% off your first order. Again, I've used them. I've tried them. My family's tried them. They're actually tasty little snacks. So again, go to HealRight.com. Check them out. Put your order in. But be sure to use that code OUTLOUD when you check out in order to get 20% off your first order.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at Clear.com. That is XLEAR.com.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're looking at labels and what we'll do to avoid being labeled, to support our labels, how it's its own form of discrimination. Just before the break, we were talking about one senator kind of trying to encourage, maybe persuade a certain associate justice in the Supreme Court, one who had been nominated by a Democratic president, to consider retiring in time for a Democratic president to appoint her replacement. At least that's what's kind of like obvious out there. Now, this is labels, right? This is, we had a Democratic president appointed you. We want to make sure a president appoints your neighbor. So therefore, give up your career so that, or this, at least this part of your career, so that we can get a person with the right label to appoint someone to replace you. And again, since the Democrats have a minuscule majority, they have a majority in the Senate, they could make sure that the appointment goes through. All about, in this case, supporting labels, because the worst thing that can happen is to have a Republican president nominate Justice of the Supreme Court. Of course, then again, that's just using another label to scare people to do things. Now, it's not just the Democrats that will sell their soul to support their label. Although you don't hear about it as much, it does happen on the Republican side. For example, in Texas, two elementary school principals have been accused of electioneering before the Republican primary. Okay, granted, it's a relatively minor charge, but apparently Jesus and Lindsay Lujan, a married couple and principals at the Borman and Alexander Elementary School in Denton, Texas, they were indicted separately by a grand jury on the charge of the unlawful use of school district's internal mail system for political advertising. At least that's the charges that have been filed against them. Now, again, you may look at that as I do. Is it a charge? Yes. Are we talking about problems on the, or, you know, conspiracies to commit election fraud on the order of what we saw in 2020? Not even close. But you see, I've seen a lot of people do an awful lot of things in the name of their party. And that's just another label. I was having a discussion with someone the other day, that was a few weeks ago now, and it was interesting. He wanted to know if I was supporting Donald Trump or Nikki Haley. I told him neither. Now, here's what was interesting about the discussion we were having, is he kept coming around saying, but who are you supporting, Trump or Haley? Now, this is before Haley had dropped out. And I said, neither. And about the third or fourth time, he says, you won't answer my question. I said, I've answered it three times already. You just don't like the answer. See, to him, it appears, right? This is my impression, that it's a question of, are you on the right team? So he looked at me and said, well, he assumed I was a Republican. And you assumed I had to pick one of the champions out of that list. That's not the way I work, ladies and gentlemen. Personally, as I say, a pox on both their houses. But it was that assumption of team and label that was leading him to be confused by the fact that I don't support anyone. Let me say that again. I do not support candidates. I don't endorse them. I don't support them. I support policies. Now, who I eventually vote for, that's my business. But the point is, I don't support candidates. I support policies. Because I don't care whether it's a donkey or an elephant or whatever. Are those policies constitutional or not? And that was just a bridge too far for this gentleman. He couldn't make that leap. And because of that, we really couldn't have a truly rational, intelligent conversation about many things because our assumed positions were so diametrically opposed, we could not, we could not talk policy. In his mind, we could not talk policy because the only policy he was concerned about is which candidate I would support. And that's a specific situation. I'm not trying to generalize it, but this is where labels, in many cases, have gotten us in trouble. And I refused to be labeled. I refused to be labeled MAGA. I refused to be labeled anti-Trump, which is, I think, the direction he was trying to go, but I'm not sure. But I refused to accept a label. And it kind of drove this guy a little bit nuts. Now, I want to kind of take a side turn here and talk about something else that says that not labels are not inherently evil. The problem is when we worship the label above its meaning. I'll give you an example. There's a group of people that we call them homeowners. That's a label you place them. I'm a homeowner, and a lot of people, they own their own home. They are home owners, right? There's another group of people, we call them squatters. By definition, squatters are staying in a home they do not have legal access to. Right? That's what a squatter is. They are staying somewhere they do not have legal access to. Now, I'll say that's okay. It's not that it is a crime, at least it should be, but it's, at this point, I'm just considering the label. Now, labeling someone a homeowner and labeling someone a squatter, the question is, do we worship the labels? Do we worship these ideas above reality? You see, in a lot of cities, in order to protect people's, in times past, and I'm sure it happens today, we have what we used to call slumlords, right? These were people, they ran buildings, and often, in order to get people out of a building, they would do things like fail to do maintenance, turn off the heat, turn off the water, to encourage, rather than evicting them, which has legal process, to encourage them to leave so that they could do something else with the building. Now, in response to that, many of these municipalities, including the city of New York, have passed laws that prevent this. The problem is, when that law gets abused by these squatters and the city fails to do the necessary due diligence to make sure that the person claiming they have legal access to the building actually has legal access to the building. You've read the news of the lady in New York that was arrested for changing the locks on the home she owns to prevent the people who were there illegally from getting back in. That's just one of a list of horror stories coming out of New York City when it comes to dealing with people who are squatting on your property. Listen to these stories from people. This is on a CBS News New York program talking about, these are homeowners, not rich, wealthy companies. These are simple middle-class homeowners who are being ruined. They're having their financial lives ruined by these squatters.
Why can't you just change the locks? oh, I will be arrested instantly.
They turned off the hot water and then reported that they had no hot water. It's a $250 fine per day, up to $15,000, punishable by 5 years in jail.
So here you are. You have to pay the upkeep of the house.
Right.
Not getting any rent?
I'm not getting any rent, and I'm paying the gas and electric every month.
Now, a lot of this comes from this label of victim. A person who's homeless, who's renter, they're a victim. Look at you got the big bad landlord and this poor victim. And, you know, how dare you actually get people out of your house that are there illegally? Now, I've seen, again, through news reports, the effect of criminal landlords and the not just the financial, but the health damage they can do to people. But it seems like in the city of New York, the assumption is the squatters are just poor, helpless people, and we take our time figuring out if they're there legally or not. And what about, the people who, they're being forced to pay utilities, but they're not getting any rent. They're forced to pay maintenance and taxes and upkeep. They're not getting any rent. And in the case you heard near the beginning, they actually are having the false claims made against them so that the squatters can maintain control. Now, again, whether it's the label of victim or I'm due or, well, just socialist and I deserve a place to live. Labels have become their own form of discrimination. As I said at the beginning, it's very much the, I label you, then I don't have to deal with the facts. I don't have to deal with the truth because I've already labeled you. And whether that label is domestic violent extremist, I don't have to worry about your rights because you are dangerous because you've been put on a list. But then you find out it's because, oh, you know, you're a Christian or you're anti-abortion or all you did was demonstrate or speak up at a school board meeting or, heavens to Betsy, go to a Latin Catholic mass to be labeled. Then I don't have to deal with the details. We put labels on people so that we don't have to deal with the details. And then others look at that label and they don't bother finding out the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that truly is dangerous. Because when we simply put people together in groups, label them, and treat them all the same, not only are we destroying, we are insulting the very idea of individuality, of individual uniqueness. It really, at a basic level, is it really any different than judging people based on the color of their skin or because of their country of origin or because of their religion? And ladies and gentlemen, we've seen it at all levels in all different ways. Not just, stereotyping black people or Hispanic people or Jewish people. Granted, many stereotypes are there because there's a kernel of truth to them. But now if I say I don't have to deal with this person because I've already labeled them, I don't care. So what does that mean we should do? Well, one, I've been trying to avoid labeling people, simply grouping people together. People are individuals. Parts are going to align in this group, parts are going to align in another group. And when we prevent that from happening, we treat people as commodities, as interchangeable cogs in a great machine. And that really is degrading to human beings. And I don't think we've thought of it that way. See, in our own minds, we use labels as shortcuts. You know, if I look at somebody, I had an example just last week where I was commenting with somebody on social media, and it was interesting because they labeled me never having communicated with me before. And what I found really interesting is they labeled me as a leftist, trying to figure out where they got that. But apparently in their mind, it was just easy. Label me a leftist, and then I don't have to take any consideration over what he's actually saying because he's a leftist. I pointed out that was prejudiced. He had judged me without even knowing anything about me. And I want us to think along those lines. Now, I can't control what other people do, but I can control, or at least try to control, what I do, which means for the last several years now, I've been trying to avoid labels. I can't always do that, but I try to avoid simply sticking someone in a group, in a box, and thinking they're going to meet my expectation of what that group is, which is the other big problem with labels. So you define a label one way, I define it differently. We use the same term, but we need different things. And that causes problems. You have a word for a definition of leftist in your mind. I have a definition of leftist in my mind. We use the same word, and we assume that when that other person uses the word leftist, they mean the exact same thing I do, and well, then we have communication problems. Does it take more work? Yes. Is it worth the work? I think so. All right, I'll admit, some days I'm not so sure. Some days are harder than others, but for the most part, yeah. I think it's worth it. If I can allow someone the ability to be unique, to recognize the uniqueness of someone. Now, maybe they feel better, maybe they don't, but it helps avoid me making assumptions that are not real, that are my own prejudices. It's why, again, when I see labels, when I see name calling, I know one thing is true. You've lost the argument. If all you have left is calling people names, you've lost the argument. And labeling is just another way of calling people names. Ah, you're just a leftist. Ah, you're just a homophobe. Ah, you're just a climate denier. I don't have to deal with you because I've labeled you, I've called you a name, and I don't have to deal with you. But it also means you've actually lost the argument because you have no evidence. If you had evidence, you pound the evidence. What's the legal term? If you have evidence, pound the evidence. If the law, if the evidence is on your side, pound the evidence. If the law is on your side, pound the law. If neither is on your side, pound the table or call people names. Now, I hope you come back and join us here for the Constitution. No, not to call people names, but you'll join us for the Constitution study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Also, all the episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. Listen in your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews. It helps other people find the Constitution study as well. You can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But please share this information. By doing so, you're also helping to share the blessings of liberty.